Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Wasn't that a beautiful song? The Our Father. I mean, how powerful is that? You know, we know the Our Father. We've all recited this many times. This is something all different denominations. In fact, there was even a time that we used to recite it in schools. Did anybody here ever recite it in school? I'm showing my age because I recited it in school. But, you know, the reason for this is the actual prayer when Jesus' disciples said, Lord, how are we to pray? This is what he taught them. But the thing is, he didn't have it in mind. He didn't have in mind that we recite it. And that's really the way we know it, right? We know it that we recite it. And it wasn't until later on in life that I started to say, wow, I should really be taking this apart word and line by line. And the catalyst for that was actually the dance ministry. The first ministry, honey, you know what? I'm a little dry. Could I have a, I'm like, womp, womp, womp. Let me, cotton mouth. If I'm starting out like this, can you imagine? Thank you, sweetie. Yeah. Oh, much better, much better. Yeah, so anyway, you know, it was the dance ministry. Now, that was one of the first ministries I was ever involved in. And with the dance ministry, what I did, I led it and I actually choreographed the pieces. Now, mind you, God has a sense of humor because I had zero dance training. And so because I had no dance training, every dancer, they have a whole vocabulary of movement. They have a vocabulary. Can you hear me? Is it all coming in clear? They have a whole vocabulary of movement to pull from. But I had absolutely no vocabulary. So lately I said, God, why is it you even had me there? And he said, that is the reason. Because I wanted you to dig deep. I wanted you to search deep within for those meanings, because all the songs that we record, that I would record or choreograph, were all laced with scripture. And one of the first ones that I choreographed was to the Our Father. Yeah. So God had said, you know, I want you to keep it simple. I want you to search for those words, search for them, and keep it simple. And keep it clear. And so it is when he taught his disciples how to pray. So he started with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now that was radical. That was really radical back then. That when he's telling the Jewish people, call God Father, that was unheard of. I mean, bottom line, I mean, they knew him as Yahweh. And even as Yahweh, they thought that that name was so sacred, they didn't even say it. They didn't even want to say it out loud. In fact, they took it out of the manuscripts because they thought it was so sacred. Yet, Jesus is saying, we can call him Father. He wants us to know him as our Father, but also he wants us to take the role of a child. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 18:3. He spoke it so clearly. He said, unless you change, stay that with me, unless you change. He said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying we're to come to him like little children. So have you ever seen a child when you try to take something away from them that they think belong to them? They hold on to it, right? Dearly, they're mine, this is mine. So when it came to recording the Our Father, the first movement that I recorded was our, close to the heart, he is mine. Our Father who art in heaven, arms reaching for the heavens, like a child reaching for their father. That's what we do in worship. We lift up holy hands. We are just lifting up hands to our heavenly Father, a life surrendered to him, like a child, right? And as adults, that's humbling, right? I am man, right? I is a man. I's not a child. I'm a woman. But God said, no, you are to change and you are to come to me like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is his words. And so that's what he says. You go to him and you say, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. So first of all, we want to have a clear picture of who the Father is. So in order to do that, we have to wipe out the memory of our earthly father and comparing him to him, although it's a natural thing for us to do that, right? But the thing is, if that's the case, we'll all have a different picture of the Father if we're comparing him to our earthly father. Now, some of us had fathers that weren't there. They were missing. You didn't even know your father. Some of us had fathers that might have disappointed them. They were rarely there. You would have special events. You would look out, and he wasn't there. But that's not God the Father. God the Father says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is the God we are to know. We have to delete that other picture from our mind. And what does God promise? I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah, hold on to that. Some of us might have had fathers who, you know, they had a short fuse, right? They got mad at the drop of a hat. They were angry, right? Maybe nothing was ever good enough. Some of us, we might have had fathers like that. Some of us, maybe they were unforgiving. They're still bringing things up to you that you did when you were a kid. But that is not God the Father. God the Father, it says in Psalms 86, says, For you, O God, we sang about it, you are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. And when we say, Our Father, we're calling on him, and that's what we'll receive, never leave us and forsake us, that steadfast love that is always there. Even if our father was compassionate and kind and had many of the attributes that God the Father has, he is still not perfect. The only one perfect father, we just sang about him, it's God the Father in heaven, who is perfect in all of his ways. And that's the one Jesus wants us to know. When we say our father, he wants us to know his father, the only one he ever knew. And the one that we have a right to call Father. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And Paul spoke of this in Romans 8:5. He said, The spirit you received does not make you slaves so you live in fear, but rather the spirit you received brought you into sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Yes, in the Aramaic, you know what Abba Father means? It means Papa. It means Daddy. And Jesus, that's what he called him, Abba Father. When he was in Gethsemane, before they took him to crucify him, when he was praying to his Father, this is what he prayed. Abba Father, everything is possible for you. If you can, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, what you will. Abba, Father. That's how Jesus referred to him. And that's how we can refer to him. Maybe some of you have never referred to him that way, as Abba, Father, that we come to him like a little child. So right now, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture your father. And softly, I want you to say these words. Abba, Father. Again, Abba, Father. Once more, Abba, Father, who will never leave you and forsake you, whose steadfast love will always be there every moment of the day. Abba, Father, we can call him that. So we start out and we pray, Our Father, or Abba, Father, in heaven. Why? Because our eyes go to heaven. Our eyes go to heaven. Why? Because that is his home. A person's status, someone's status is where they live, right? The president lives in the White House. Kings, right? They live in a palace. Where does our father live? He lives in heaven. And Jesus says, Joseph, bring your eyes to heaven, our father who lives in heaven. And then he goes on, hallowed be thy name. And that isn't just another name for holy. God is holy, right? What is holy? It is perfect, flawless morality. perfect, flawless morality. That's who God is. And he sits on his throne. And can you just picture him? It says in Revelations, the angels are all around him and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Isn't that awesome? And we have the right to call him Father. Say it again. Abba Father. Abba Father. Now I have a question for you. When you hear, think of God's name, his actual name, what comes to your mind? Right? Something different might come to all of us. The reason I ask that is I want us to explore and have some insight into just the way we perceive God. Now Moses, he did ask God, "What is your name? What is your name?" And in Exodus 3, 14 through 15, this is what Moses asked God, "What is your name?" And this is what God said, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites, "I am has sent you." And you know what the root of I am? It is Yahweh. It is Yahweh. But God said, "I am." And he goes on to say to the Israelites, "The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent you." And he's saying the same thing to us today. I am your God. I am the God of your forefathers. I am the God of Tiffany. I am the God of Lanise. I am the God of Jimmy. I am the God of Carl. I am your God. And I am all things to you. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your righteousness. I am all things to you. Yes. When asked, he just said simply, "I am." Yes. He's the only one that can say, "I am." Why? Because he's unchanging, because he always was and he always will be. His character never changes. You and I, we can never say I am. No. Because we're always changing. And there was one time, at point in time, I could say, "I'm a child." Another point, "I'm a teenager." Another point, "I'm an adult," right? We're always changing. But there is something that I can say that I couldn't say 25 years ago. And you know what that is? I am holy and without blame before God. I can say that. You know why I can say it? Because I am a born-again child of God. Because I received him as my Lord and my Savior. And from that moment on, I could stand here and say, "I am holy and blameless before God. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have been delivered from the power of darkness." Yes. And transformed into God's kingdom. I am called of God. I am an ambassador for Christ. Every one of those things, I am, and so are you. Isn't that awesome? We are every one of those things. Praise God. The moment you are born again, you step into that role. Your identity changes, and you have to know it, and you can walk in it, and you can proclaim it until you believe it deep in your soul. You believe it, and you're walking in it. I just love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love it. I live it, I breathe it, because it's there for everything in my life. Everything in my life, because that's how God speaks to us. And there's a scripture, one that I really love, because it makes me feel safe. It makes me feel secure. And it's found in John. It's John 10, 28, 29. And these were Jesus' words. "I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than them all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Isn't that awesome? Can you get a hold of that? We belong to him. We belong to him. We are secure. He has a hold of us. I have been delivered from the power of darkness and transformed into God's kingdom. Yes, he's got a hold of me and you. And we can be secure in that. But there's more to it than that, because we have free will. So even once we are born again, what are we going to do with our lives? Are we going to live our lives doing our own will? Or are we going to lay down our will and do his will? And God already knew that our will was going to be strong, that we were going to struggle. We were going to want to do our own will. So he said, "You make sure you pray this one. This, and so he goes here, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth just as it is in heaven. Yeah. So when we pray that, you know what we're doing? We are aligning our will with his. That's what we're doing. And the more that he rules and reigns in our lives, the more he will use you for his purpose, to do his will. Yeah. He's not looking for extraordinary people. He's just looking for people who will do his will, looking for people who say, yes, Lord, send me, Lord. Yeah, that's what he's looking for. Jesus, everywhere he went, he spoke about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so this is what he said, right? One of the first things he said in Matthew, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Yes, that's what he says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's what happens when we're born again. We repent. We turn to the Lord. And how about when the Pharisees, they asked him. They asked him about the kingdom of God. Do you remember what Jesus' words were to him? In Luke 17, it says, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, it is here, it is there, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. He's saying, you're looking at it, right? I'm the kingdom of God, you know? And the moment that you and I receive Christ, it's Christ in us. The presence of God comes into us. Yes, and so when we can align our lives with him for his will, for his purpose, we are partnering with God for his purpose to do his will. Isn't that awesome? Does that get you excited? It gets me excited. Because we're not called to live everyday lives. We're called to live extraordinary lives. But he's going to use ordinary people like you and I who are willing, who say, send me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. And every time we choose to share our faith, every time we choose to share our faith, he is ruling and reigning in our lives. Every time we choose to forgive, he is ruling and reigning in our lives. Every time we return good for evil, he is ruling and reigning in our lives. Every time we submit to Jesus and his call, he's ruling and reigning in our lives. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Yes, we know his voice. We follow him. He will send us into adventure after adventure. But we have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to lay down our will and be bold and step out when he asks us to step out. Yes, willing. That's all we have to be. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, this is who we are. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that beautiful? You and I, every time we open our mouths, God is using us for his glory. God, we share our faith. We are calling people into that place. We all have stories of what God is doing in our lives. How many of you have a story? Right? Raise your hand. We have stories, right? And the more willing you are, the more stories you'll get. It'll be story upon story upon story, right? So, I mean, I have stories, right? So one of my stories I want to share today is when I worked in cachet. Now, I worked in cachet. I was just an ordinary chick there, right? I wasn't a manager. I wasn't a district manager. I was a sales girl making $9 an hour. That's who I am, right? But I am an ambassador for Christ. That is who I am. So when I step into that store, that's who I am. And when you pray, thy kingdom come in my workplace, send me, Lord, send me, Lord. He will do that. He will, and that's what I prayed, and in I went, right? So here I am, I'm hanging out, right, and no customers are in there yet. And two of the other sales girls I work with, they're drinking this, I'll never forget, a vanilla milkshake, and they're sick. They're looking at me going, I think this milkshake is sour. You know, we both don't feel good. Can you taste it? I'm like, excuse me, the poison apple. Yeah, sure, I'm gonna taste this thing, the poison. I said, well, I don't think so. I said, but do you mind? Can I pray for you? And they said, yes. So I laid hands on them and I prayed a simple prayer of faith in Jesus' name for them to be healed. And right then, perfect timing, people started coming in, so we're scurrying around waiting on the people, right? 50 minutes later, I say to them, "Hey ladies, how do you feel?" They look at me and their mouths drop. They said, "Fine." God, Jesus healed them. There was no doubt in my mind. He healed them. And they were going, "I can't believe it. I'm not sick." And you know what happened? They became the mouthpiece. They went around and told everybody that at work, "You're not going to believe what happened. Dottie prayed for us and we got healed." And then what would happen then? That they were his mouthpiece. And what happened then, when people, they came in with even a sniffle, they would have me go back to the office and I would pray for them for healing. And then it got to the point they said, "All right, maybe we'll do it a step further." I said, "You know, we can pray for everything. We can pray for all kinds of stuff." So our store was thriving, and we had every month we had to make a quota. And if we made a quota, we would get our bonus. But you had to do it every day. You had to do it. So most of the days they were going along good. If a day came and they hadn't made the quota, so say it was around 9 o'clock and the mall closes at 9:30, you know, and if, you know, and they're needing like $300 or $400. So they would text me, "Please pray that we make our quota." Well, I would, I'd pray up a storm, right? Every time we made our quota. And so the people are all in there going, "Oh, giving God the glory, giving God the glory." We got our bonuses all the time, and it was God answering our prayer. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our workplace," and he'll do it for all of us. Maybe not as outwardly as it was there, but he'll show you a way. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. We are his ambassadors. We are. And you know what an ambassador is? It's an ambassador. In Webster's Dictionary, it said it's someone who represents another. We represent Christ. In fact, it even uses the word minister. Yes, and he will use us. All we have to do is be willing. Say, "Lord, send me. Thy kingdom come in my workplace. Send me, Lord. Thy kingdom come in the schools. Send me, Lord. Thy kingdom come at the pool. Send me, Lord." I always talk about my pool ministry. Everywhere we go, we are his ambassadors. And all you have to do is say, what is he calling you to do? God will call you to do moment to moment. He'll call us. Maybe you feel called to go to a soup kitchen and to serve. That's good. Maybe you feel called to be an usher, a greeter on the worship team. You know, maybe you're called to be, you know, a pastor, it's a pastor of church. Maybe that is your call, you know, or to go to another country, maybe a missionary. Yeah, what is God? Think big, think big. The first person that I ever sat under their preaching, he had me think big. Don't ever put God in a box. Just dream your dreams and think big. And he'll have you step into them. So dream big for God. He's just saying, find someone that says, send me, Lord. And we all have stories. So I have another story. So one of the places I went in the beginning was I would go to the nursing homes, right? It was the first place that I would preach. Now, that's quite an experience, right? I mean, when I preach here, I might see someone yawn, but there they were falling asleep. I mean, the people are snoozing in their wheelchairs, right? It doesn't do a lot for your self-esteem, you know. But I knew how to wake them up. I would sing. Now, anyone who's ever heard me sing, Joyce can attest to this, she was there. It is a close second to my driving, as far as my singing, it is. So if you've heard me sing, it is definitely a close second. But when I was there, I would sing, right? My husband always said, "Yeah, honey, you have a captive audience," right? I'd say, "They were there." He goes, "They're in their wheelchairs. They can't leave, you know." So I would sing, right? And the funny part is when I sing, I mean, everybody tells me I'm out of tune, but I don't know it because it sounds wonderful to me. So I'm singing, and I'm totally into it because I sound wonderful, but everyone else is telling me I'm out of tune. So, but I am in the nursing home and I am out of tune and I am belting out the Our Father. Our Father. And I'm belting just the one, very song that Kim sang. Well, you haven't heard it, so you've heard me sing it here. Trust me. But I'm singing it from the bottom of my heart. And it's out of tune. It's going out there. And there's this sweetest man is there. And he said to me, I love the way you sing that song. I love the way you sing that song. Because you sing it from your heart. Would you sing that at my funeral? And he kept asking me again, every time, please, please. Well, he passed away. So here I am in church, right? Filled with people. Now, there's one thing, singing out of tune in the nursing home. There is another thing, getting up for a church full of people. I mean, trust me, Kim is never going to ask me to do a solo. It ain't going to happen. So I'm up there, and I felt like I had to at least warn the people, right? I had to warn them. So I said, your dad, you know, your father, your brother, your uncle, he had asked me to sing today. Now I want it, but my voice is not a beautiful voice. In fact, it's out of tune. But that didn't matter to him, because when I sang it, it brought him comfort in that nursing home of his heavenly hope. And he wanted me to sing it for you today to remember the time back when I sang it, that you would have comfort knowing where he is. Yeah. And it did. It comforted the people. But then again, you take someone like our Kim or Jody. They have these amazing, gifted voices, right? You know, but when they sing, it isn't the voice that really touches us so much. It's not the voice that's affecting us the way it is. You know what it is? It is the anointing on their life. It's the anointing. It's God moving in them and through them. That is what touches us. And what is the anointing? Simply put, it is the power of God. The power of God that exceeds anything that we could ever do on our own. We could never generate this kind of power. Never. As beautiful as Kim's voice is, as beautiful as Jody's voice is, what brings us into his presence is the anointing on their lives. And we are all anointed. God will anoint the gifts that he gives us. We're all anointed. Every time we share our faith, the anointing will be there because God will be with you. The anointing is there. And the closer we draw to God, the more. Kim, she's a worship leader, yes, but that's not the only time she worships, or Jody. They're worshiping in their other times. They're going before the Lord. They're crying out to the Father. The anointing comes from our relationship with God, and it increases in our lives. And the stronger the anointing, the more effect we will have on others. But that's what it comes from. It comes from letting him rule and reign in our lives. God is not looking for extraordinary people, just people he can move through. People who are willing, people who will cry out to him. So now we get to the next part, one we're very familiar with. It's, give us today our daily bread. Yeah, our daily bread. You remember with Jesus when he was in, the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness and God was sending the manna? How did it come down? Daily, right? So that's what God is saying. Daily. And you know why? Not that we can't be praying about the future, we can, but he wants to be with us on a moment-to-moment basis. That's what he's saying. I want you to be dependent on me, moment by moment. God is interested in our needs, but he wants us to be dependent on him. I love Philippians. This is what it says. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Isn't that awesome? So what does that give you a picture of? Us being dependent on God. That's what prayer is. It's a dependency on him. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small for him. As long as it lines up with his word, pray it. Right? What he's cultivating is that dependence on him. And the more we cultivate the dependence on him, the stronger and the more he'll use us in our lives. Isn't that awesome? That we're called to live a life of adventure, right? We're called to live a life where opportunities just come our way. We're called to have the favor of God on us. But we have to follow him. We have to be where we're supposed to be, right? Yeah. I love what, you know, Pastor Shino, he did a whole teaching, the beginning teaching was on this. And he spoke about that dependence, and we're supposed to be specific. When we pray, we need to be specific, because when we're specific, that's when we'll get the answers, right? Well, no, Pastor Shino is a man of faith. Why? Because he prays a lot. The more we pray, the more he can answer us, right? So, like I said, this is a place that we're familiar with, but it's good. God is interested in everything in our lives. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. So then we go on to forgiveness. You would have thought, right, that forgiveness would be in the beginning, right? No. God says, come to me. It wasn't until now. We're down to the fourth part that he even gets around to forgiveness, right? Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. But forgiveness is of the utmost importance to God. The utmost importance. Not that we only receive it, but that we give it. And the more grateful we are that God has forgiven us, the more sensitive we are to our own weaknesses, the easier it is for us to forgive others. So again, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to say or see, is there anyone in your life that you haven't forgiven? And let a picture of them come up, or that name. Is there anyone in your life you have not totally forgiven? You can open your eyes. Now, with some of you, maybe you have totally forgiven. But if you haven't, don't give up. Don't give up. Because you can forgive. But you have to realize, first of all, you have to want to. Sometimes you don't even realize you don't want to. You're saying, I really don't want to, because you're holding on to it and it's helping you be strong. But really, it isn't. So if you're thinking you're that one, I'm not sure I want to, you got to pray and say, God, I don't want to. I don't know why, but I don't want to, God. Help me. Show me why I don't want to, God. Show me why. And then help me, Lord. Show me. Show me. We're to come to him. It says, like a little child, we can talk to him like that. We can be more transparent with God than anyone, because he knows everything. He knows it, right? And so maybe you are trying. You're saying, I'm trying everything I can to forgive. But it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up. Again, we repent. You just have to ask for repentance. If there's anything in you, God, I repent of that, Lord God. I repent. I come to you. Help me, God. Heal me from that. Heal me. Help me to forgive. What should I do, God? Help me. And you know what he'll do? He'll send you to his word every time, right? He'll send you to his word. And what does his word say? In Matthew 5:44, Jesus' words to us, but I tell you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. Man, have you ever tried to pray for someone that has offended you? It's not easy. It's not. I remember the first time when I read that and I said, you're kidding. You really want me to love this person and then pray for them? I mean, I would be choking on the words. And I was not sincere in the beginning. But as you do it, as you start to pray for them, God, how many of you have tried that, praying for your enemy or praying for someone? Wow, that's the best. That's the way. That's the remedy. And you have to keep doing it and pray for them. And as you pray for them, that's what will happen. Every time we pray for someone that's hurt us, we are submitting to God's rule and reigning in our lives. Every time we pray for them, and God, he sees your heart. He knows, and he is merciful. As you say, God, forgive me. And you keep praying for them. Every day you pray for them. So you can't wait to forgive them so you don't have to pray for them anymore. Right? Yes, let it go, Lord. Good, they're out of here, man. Yes, but it works. It works, you know? I mean, God, forgiveness is there for us too. That forgiveness, you know, I feel the most loved in those moments when I'm repenting. I mean, when I worship, I love to worship. I mean, I feel the love of God. How many feel the love of God saturate them when they worship? It's so beautiful. It fills me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Sometimes I can hardly stand. If you see my knees getting weak, you know, I'm not drunk. It's the love of Jesus. It's just flooding through me. But that is nothing in comparison to when I go to him and I'm asking for forgiveness, and the enemy's been beating me up and telling me how awful I am, and I'm getting filled with condemnation, and I go to him and I'm turning and I repent, and he whispers in my ear, "You are my child, and I am well pleased with you." It is so clear and so loud. And that love, when you start experiencing that, it's easier to have mercy for others because you've experienced it. But we have to go every day and ask for forgiveness, or our conscience will get seared. We want to have a tender conscience. And the only way that can happen is if we repent. And we just keep coming back and coming back until the deliverance will be there for us. Yeah. And so now we go, we're going to temptation. This is the prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me, God. God will never tempt us. But let's face it, there is temptation all around us, right? And sometimes temptation can come in the form of a test, right? Now, my question for you is, what do you do when you're tempted? What do you do? Do you try to fight it on your own, independent of God? You know, because if you do, you're going to fail, right? Every time. Or do you pray, deliver me, God, from evil? Do you pray, deliver me? Deliver me, God. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do, right? When he was tempted, when he was in the wilderness, what did Jesus do? He spoke the word of God. And so can we. You know what the word of God is? It is the sword in our hand. In Ephesians, it talks about putting the full armor of God on, and it is the sword in your hand. My brother Eddie, when we were praying on Friday night, he prayed that the whole armor all over us. It was powerful, and it reminded me, the word of God is the sword in our hand, and we go into battle. And the bad word, we call Satan the enemy, and we go in with the sword in our hand, manned up with the word of God. That's how we go about it. Now, there's a scripture that is very dear to my heart. There is a scripture, I have a few, but one that's the sword in my hand. And it's found in Titus. It said, it is the grace of God that teaches me to say no to ungodly behavior. That sword is no, and then you say yes to God's will, yes to your ways, yes to you ruling and reigning in my life. Yes, I have been delivered from the power of darkness and transformed into his kingdom. Yes, it's the sword in our hand. It is the word. So you take that word and you speak it out and you claim it to you till it's coming up. And that's what comes up. No, we just say no to temptation and yes to God. We say yes. Are you with me? Yes. But it all starts with when you're born again. Now, and when you're here, do you know for sure you are born again? Because when you are, the presence of God comes into you. And what it takes is a personal confession of your faith. A personal confession of your faith. Romans 10:9 said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes. He wants us to know it. He wants us to know. I am holy and without
blame. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation
in
Jersey.
He wants you to know.
Where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.